Amen. Amen. We stand in awe of our wonderful God. Aren't you grateful we can come together and sing as a church, as a congregation? Oh, what a blessing that is. And hopefully, during these times, it's a reminder to us that it's a special thing to be able to come together and to be able to hear each other sing and raise our voices together. I'm Evangelist Ben Everson. For those of you who perhaps are new or don't remember us, that's okay. Not offended. All right. But we are glad to be part of your church this week. And that's really how we view it. As we travel around, God has given us a wonderful privilege of being able to be a part of different local congregations. And so we really consider ourselves a part of your church this week. Of course, we've been here a lot over the years. And we've got some pictures out there of when our kids were really small. And we had our fifth wheel trailer parked up in the upper parking lot. Is that what we call it up there? What do we call that up there? The upper parking lot. Okay, good. I guess right. Good. I didn't know if you had like a special, like higher grounds or something. Something like that. But we remember being here. And now we're at the point where we are starting to lose kids to their aging out. They're aging out. And so Miles and Elena say hi. They are not with us this time around. Miles is down in, Miles and Elena both are down in Pensacola, Florida. And pray for Miles. He's got a job interview on Wednesday. He's very excited about that. He's interviewing with a prestigious company called Cracker Barrel. I thought it's, oh no, no, he, yeah, right, right. It's orientation. Actually, he already has the job. It's orientation, excuse me. So I thought I might get an amen out of Cracker Barrel somewhere, you know. Amen, amen. But we're excited for that. And, of course, we've got our two others with us, and I'll introduce them very quickly. If you're on live stream, you can't see them, but they are here. Our youngest is Brandon. He's over here on this side, and he is with us. We're very grateful for that. Darren is also with us here. He's over here. And you'll hear more from these guys as the week progresses. Thank you. You can be seated. Appreciate their help. As instead of four kids doing all the work, and it's just the two doing all the work, and Amanda and I sit back and drink our milkshakes and just watch them work. And it's great. That's a joke. All right? We do work, too. My wonderful wife is still with me. I appreciate that as well. And that's supposed to be a little bit of humor as well. Maybe you don't think that's very funny. I don't know. In all seriousness, we actually love coming back here to Cross Lanes. It's one of our favorite times. And so disappointed that Pastor Dave Buckley, of course, is going through these things, not just because we enjoy the fellowship and such, but that's got to be a challenge. And so I'm sure he'll be watching this either live or after it's posted, etc. But we will certainly be praying for him. I hope and trust that you've been praying for the meetings. You know, this situation in our country has not caught God off guard. Amen? This is not a surprise to God. He knew that this was going to be here. And how many of you would say that you have asked God to do something in our hearts and lives as an individual, as a family, as a church, as a nation, sometime in the last couple years since we've been with you? How many of you have prayed somewhere along those lines? The vast majority of us, amen, we have asked God to do something, to shake us up, to take us out of our comfort zones, right? Well, what has He allowed to happen in 2020? We've been taken out of our comfort zones, right? We've been shaken up, not just as individuals and families and churches, but as a nation, right? And so I think more than ever before, we've got the opportunity to see God do some incredible, incredible things. In a moment, I'm going to go to God's Word. Before that, though, this morning, I want to sing a song for you that goes along with the message. And this is one that I wrote. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. It's just kind of bringing it up here. And brother, I will switch over to this mic.
Appreciate the wonderful work of your crew around here. Brother Fisher back there. And of course, Pastor Mark. We just love coming back because we've got so many wonderful servants here that keep things going. And that's a wonderful thing. This song, I entitle it, Souvenir of Grace. Because we're going to be actually delving into this wonderful account of a lady and two sons who saw God do something incredible. Listen to the song as I sing, and I'm sure you'll remember the story. Souvenir of Grace. Her eyes were on an empty cruse of oil. She saw the days were numbered for her sons. She never took into account a miracle. She'd never met the God who'd give her one. A souvenir of grace, a token that His face is smiling. Heaven's arms are open wide, and those who seek will find souvenirs of grace, remembering where they faced what should have been an empty place, now full of grace. Years have past and fuller times have found her, and in many ways the miracle's been hid. But she still has that empty cruse of oil. It always takes her back to what God did. A souvenir of grace, a token that His face is smiling. Heaven's arms are open wide, and those who seek will find souvenirs of grace, remembering where they faced what should have been an empty place, now full of grace. And the story that she tells starts so sad, but ends so well. With souvenirs of grace, tokens that His face is smiling. Heaven's arms are open wide, and those who see souvenirs of grace, remembering where they face what should have been an empty place, full of grace.
Praise God for His grace. Amen. Praise God for His grace. Grab your Bibles, if you would, please, this morning. Appreciate so much you being here this morning. And I know we've got other folks online who aren't able to be here for a number of different reasons. And we welcome you as well. And we are just so excited about this week. As you're turning, 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4, I do want to encourage you. If you can at all be out this week, boy, we'd love to have you here. And now we're experienced, we are able to do services to a completely empty auditorium. We've had to do it. We've recorded services. We've traveled around and done live streams for empty auditoriums where we're just right to the camera, etc. But I can tell you this, it's not the same as being here in person. And if anything, it helps us too. I like to hear an amen once in a while, okay? I like to see people that are engaged, etc. Now, that doesn't mean if you can't come, you got work responsibilities or health issues or different things. I know we've got some folks like that watching right now. We still want you to watch online. So we've got those options for you. But if you can be here this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, right? All right, good. That's when I'll be here. So hopefully you'll be here as well during those times. And Monday and Wednesday, I'll be bringing a message from the Word of God, and we'll do music as well. And Tuesday's going to be a special evening of song and testimony all together. And we've got a couple special things planned for you for that night as well. 2 Kings chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. This is this account of this woman that I sang about in the song. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, thy husband, is dead." Would you mind bringing me my water bottle back up? Darren Kenner, thank you. I forgot to bring it up. Thank you very much. "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." She is in a tough spot. But at the end of this account, she's going to have a souvenir of grace from something God's going to do. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit as we look into your Word. Lord, I pray that you would just comfort us, strengthen us this morning. There's no way I could possibly know all the needs in everyone's hearts here, those who are here as well as those who are watching online. But Lord, you know all. You know what we need. Lord, I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit, fill us with your Spirit, so that we can take away wondrous things out of your Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. She's in an impossible situation, isn't she? I mean, she is in the position, it's not like today where at least even if you have difficulty, there are different places that you can turn to for help. This widow woman is in a tough spot, and she's grieving, I'm sure. The Bible says here, she says, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." So her husband had died. We don't know how, we don't know why, we don't know really what age he was. I would guess that it was probably pretty unexpected. She still has two sons living at home. So even though we don't know a whole lot about the situation here, we can certainly say that she's having a difficult time. Not only that, but the sons of the prophets. Let's talk about that. That's kind of like what we would think of as like a Bible college, okay? Sons of the prophets. These are where young men would go to train for the ministry. It really is what it is. And so he had gone, he had trained. We don't know if he finished his training. We don't know if he had graduated, right? But he was a servant of God and a servant of Elisha. I want to point out a few things here for you this morning. Not a complicated message, not a difficult outline, just a few observations. First observation I have for you is for us to see, where does her attention go? Her attention goes to the man of God. She turns to the man of God for help. Now I understand this is an Old Testament passage. This is a different dispensation. There is different things going on here, etc. They didn't have the local church, right? That doesn't come till later on. They didn't know about that. That was a mystery hidden in God, right, that He chose to reveal hundreds and hundreds of years later. But the principle still here is the same. When she had difficulty and she had a struggle, her eyes and her heart turned towards, where can I get help? She turned towards the man of God. She turned towards help. I want to encourage you this morning. Right off the bat, be sensitive. Be observant of those who are in need. You realize that's part of the reason the local church exists? To help those who are in need, particularly those of our own congregation. I think one of the most discouraging things that has happened this year that I never imagined would happen is people having to go through difficulties alone. I'm sure just about every one of us in here has had friends, loved ones, family members even perhaps, who have had to face health difficulties by themselves. You know, you go into the hospital and because of the different protocols and things, you can't be with your loved ones. There's even been some horrible accounts of folks that have had to die alone. It's sad. I who would have imagined that that would happen in the United States of America? And yet here we are. The local church, part of the reason the local church exists is so we can encourage each other, so we can lift each other up, so that we can send that text, right? We can make that phone call. Some of you can do the, if you're Apple people, isn't it FaceTime with Apple? That's what Apple is, right? Yeah, I'm not a sponsored Apple spokesman or anything like that, okay? But whatever you want to call it, you can face-to-face chat. They've got all kinds of ways that we can make connections with folks. And an old-fashioned phone call works just fine, too. Be observant. That's not really part of the message, I guess. It's just an encouragement here because she needs help and she turns there to the man of God. And the local church now exists so that we can help each other. I think it's right. I think it's a good thing. When you have a difficulty in your life, when you need some encouragement, you ought to be able to go to the people of God. What does she say to Elisha? Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thy servant, right? And thou knowest that thy servant, right? That he was your servant. What does that mean? That he was actually literally his servant that traveled around with him? No. It's saying that he was yielded to his authority, that maybe he was a good student, right? Even more than that, she says he did fear the Lord. You know, bad things sometimes happen to good people. Now, I know, there are no such thing as good people. I know. I'm talking, but there are servants of... Sometimes I get tired of some of the theological arguments that occur, don't you? Sometimes, I mean, theology is good as long as it's based on the Word of God. All right? But I sometimes hear argumentation in my mind. I learned as I was learning how to preach that a good preacher will do his best to try to imagine the objections or the arguments or the excuses of the people who are listening to him. So you can kind of anticipate that and then answer those things. Of course, I can't really know what's going on in people's minds, but as I've traveled around to so many different hundreds of churches, that's a lot of ideas of people's excuses and argumentation in my mind, right? And so whenever I say something, I hear, well, they might think this. Listen, let's just put it down here. We understand that there's none righteous, no, not one. But we also understand that when you're given the righteousness of Christ, that you don't have to continue to think of yourself as just a sinner that has no hope. Right? Because then we're redeemed. And what are we supposed to do? Well, we know we don't work in order to be saved, but we ought to work because we are saved. And there ought to be a desire inside us to be more like Christ. I want to be more like Christ this year than I was last year. So that we ought to be able to look back in our life and see this growth, right? So in that context, listen, he was a man that feared the Lord. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to God's people. We don't get a free pass. Oh, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Or, you know, I go to Cross Lanes Bible Church. So I get a free pass, right? It doesn't work that way. We all have to face difficulty. And sometimes it's unexpected. In fact, maybe most of the time it's unexpected. Verse 2. Oh, and what's going to happen? The creditor is going to come and take away our two sons. Now that might sound pretty extreme to us, and it still is extreme, but you have to understand that this was a common practice during the time where if you had a debt that you couldn't pay, many times your sons would be taken as servants or indentured servants. It is slaves, but it's not the same thing that we generally think of, okay? They would work off that debt. But, I mean, then she'd really be left destitute, right? Her husband's not there. It's not like she has retirement. It's not like they had Social Security, right? So, I mean, she's at the end of it here. And Elisha, verse 2, said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." She had nothing. Second observation I want to give to you this morning. When you have nothing, God is up to something. When you have nothing, God is up to something. You know, we are so self-sufficient sometimes that it takes us coming to the end of our earthly resources before we turn to God. Now, it shouldn't be that way, right? We should be walking closely with God. We should be having that great relationship with the Lord. But sometimes we just kind of get stuck in a rut, so to speak. We kind of have things on cruise control. And it takes us coming to the end of ourselves to realize, whoa, 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 I cannot do this on my own. Now, that can be personally in your own life. Maybe you come to the end of the finances. Maybe everything was supposed to be great, right? We made the biggest purchase we have ever made in our entire life. At the end of January, we got a new vehicle. It's been a great blessing. It's much more. We were driving around a 2008 Chevy Express van, which did its job. But I am not 25 anymore. And neither is my wife. So we were noticing that, man, we are just sore and stiff and all, you know, traveling these thousands of miles, etc. Let's get a new vehicle that will house us, still keep us on the road, etc. and everything. You know, if I knew that there was going to be a pandemic coming in March, that would not have been my first choice, right? But you know, there are situations in your lives, I'm sure, because things were going well economically wise, pretty much. Things were going pretty well and people were making financial plans and this is how it's going to go in 2020. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And then, boom. It's amazing how financial need can really get our attention really quickly, right? Maybe it's not a financial need. Maybe it is a health need. A lot of people are very health conscious. Although I have to say this, and hopefully you understand, I think of this kind of humorously, but seriously, at the same time, if you weren't washing your hands in 2019, right, there was a problem. And now we've got everywhere signs how to wash your hands and things like, I'm like, do people really not know how to wash their hands? Right? Well, we do now. Right? But health concerns. I actually had the privilege of visiting a West Virginia emergency room not too long ago to rule out something terrible called a heart attack. I did not have a heart attack, praise the Lord. I actually ended up having a rib out of joint, a rib out of place for about 16 days. That was not fun. And I just happened to go to my chiropractor when we got back to Pensacola. And I said, I don't know what's going on. And he said, well, let me check. Felt around. He said, oh, you have a rib out of joint. Bang! It hurt, but then I was instantly better, you know? Wow. But I remember being in that emergency room, and it was so packed out with different people, and everyone was separated out and such. And if you've had that experience here recently, you know, everyone's kind of not knowing what to expect and afraid, right? And people, you know, oh, man, does that person have the virus, you know? Does this person have... And people not going in because... And then having more difficulties because they're afraid to go in. Listen... Maybe you're in that position. Maybe you are even watching online and the fear takes over and you're kind of at the end of yourself. Listen, when you're at the end of yourself, when you have nothing, God is up to something. She said, all I've got is this pot of oil. Verse 3, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. In other words, get as many as you can. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Okay. Can we forget for a moment that we know how this story goes? Don't read ahead. Right? It's kind of unfair sometimes. We come to the Word of God and we're like, oh yeah, God's going to work a miracle. She had no idea what God was going to do. He just says, take that pot of oil. You're going to go borrow a bunch of empty vessels, pots and pans, right? Go to your neighbor. Just say, can I borrow these? I'll bring them back. Can I borrow these? You know, our God doesn't work within our mental time frame, within our mental space. Well, I know what God needs to do. We need politics to go this way. That's what God needs to do. He needs to help politics. Listen, we all need to vote our consciences, okay? Right? But sometimes God doesn't work the way we think He needs to. Well, you know, God's going to send revival, and this is how He's going to do it. And you know, everyone's going to turn to the Lord, and America, once again, is going to be just known everywhere as a Christian nation, and it's going to go this way. Maybe that's not how God's going to work. You know, by the way, this is a side point. You realize God sends revival for three reasons, if you look through Scripture. God sends revival for three reasons, historically speaking and biblically speaking. One reason is to spare a nation from or a people from judgment. That's one reason. That's what I've been praying for. The second reason is to prepare His own people to go through a judgment. The third reason is to bring His people out of judgment. So I've been praying for that first category. That's what I'd like. Could it be the second category, that God is preparing His people while the nation goes through judgment? I don't know. All I know is I want to be close to God no matter what happens, right? Who else is there to go to? But He says, get all the vessels you can. Now this thing, this doesn't make any sense, does it? He already knows she only has one pot of oil, right? This is my little water bottle here. These are cool little water bottles, by the way. I like that. You've got this whole like system set up here, and you come through the line, and you can pick up a mask if you'd like. You can choose which purified drinking water from Kroger you can get, and you just pick it up, and you've got your own personal water. That's pretty cool, and you come through and all that. Got it all laid out. That's pretty nice. I like that. You notice we set up our CD table right in the path, so you have to go right past it. as you're going your way out. That's just kind of funny. I'm at home with y'all, okay? So I can joke like that. But she's got is that one cruise of oil left. That's it. That's all. And He's telling her to go get a bunch of empty ones. What good's that going to do? Do you ever feel like questioning God? Right? God, this does not make sense. I am out of resources and You're asking me to give? I am out of emotional energy and You're asking me to give to someone else? I am out of time. I'm so busy and yet You're asking me to invest in the life of someone else? Right? I mean, we could start going down that list. Lord, that doesn't make sense. Now, it's not recorded here that she asked any of those questions. It's not recorded here that she said, Elisha, I respect you as the man of God, but I just want to let you know that is not what my current issue of my Christian magazine, how it tells me to do things. Right? That's not how this is supposed to work. I don't understand. Whether or not, of course, I don't know how she could have understood, but she obeyed. And you know what? That brings me to the third observation. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. You know, I'm not responsible to understand everything that God is doing, but I am responsible to obey Him. I'm not going to understand everything that God's doing, but I'm still responsible to obey Him. We've had the privilege, and I mean this. It's been a privilege to have these four kids. Our son Miles is 19. He is not going to college right now. His goal, his desire is to be a private pilot. And even eventually, if he can, to become a bush pilot. I think some of you might know that. He's mentioned that when we were here the last time. And so he's not going the traditional college route to, you know, just get a bunch of debt. He actually wants to work and pay that and go to pilot school. But and it's been exciting. Now, he's still living at home with us. That's fine. He doesn't have to move out yet. We're not giving him the boot yet. All right. And in fact, as we travel, it's going to be a great advantage. We decided in the middle of, was it May that we decided to do the house? End of May. We actually made the decision very quickly with everything going on and meetings being canceled and everything up in the air. You remember all that, right? We thought, boy, we're living in Airbnbs, but that's, you know, that's going to get expensive. So what are we going to do? Well, we made the executive decision. Well, let's see if we can rent a house again. That wasn't our goal. It wasn't our desire. We wanted to buy a house when we moved into a house the next time. We wanted to actually own one so we could, you know, do whatever we wanted with it, make improvements, have a little bit of property if possible, you know, to put your generators and things like that, which you never know. They might come in handy. We just had a hurricane in Pensacola. Hurricane Sally went through, right? And they lost power. And such. In fact, but the last time we were here, actually. The last time we were here, we lost power. Remember that? We had a wonderful time anyway, didn't we? Brought the candles in, and it was supposed to be a big friend day with different folks and community people and politicians and different things. And it still turned out to be a wonderful time. Generators can come in handy. Anyway, I'm getting off track. That it wasn't our plan to get a house, to rent a house. But you know what? It's okay. We want to be able to keep serving the Lord wherever He tells us to go. And this works out great because Miles has a place where he can base out of, and he watches the house for us, cuts the grass, you know, trims the hedges. Literally, he's trimming the hedges. All that type of stuff. I don't know what God has in store. But I want to keep obeying Him. I want to keep trusting Him. Right? She obeys. He says, okay, let's do it. Come on, boys. This doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to do it anyway. Maybe you need a little bit of that in your life. Well, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to trust God anyway. It doesn't make sense in my life to keep giving out when I'm the one in need. So she went from him and shut the door upon her, upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her. Look at this. And she poured out. Now, it's speaking of the cruse of oil that she's pouring out. I understand that. I'm going to make a little bit of an application here. And that in pouring out that cruse of oil, she was pouring out of herself. Fourth observation here this morning. We're moving right through them. To see a greater outpouring of God demands a greater outpouring of us. To see a greater outpouring of God demands a greater outpouring of us. This is true in so many ways. It's true in revival. If we want to see God do something and yet we want to see Him do something while we sit on the sidelines or whatever, listen, that's not how it works. If we want to see God do something, well, we can't do His part. I couldn't anyway, don't want to anyway, but you realize we have a part to play too. I remember when I was a sophomore in Bible college, I understood all things, theology speaking. That's the last time. In fact, that's what if you want to solve a theological issue, speaking tongue-in-cheek here, but if you want to solve a theological issue, ask a sophomore in Bible college because they got it all figured out. As I'm 43 now, so as time has gone on, I realized how much more I need to learn and won't learn until eternity. I don't claim to understand how the sovereignty of God interacts with the free will of man. And guess what? I'm pretty sure you probably don't either. Now, you might have a different view on it than I do. You might understand more of it than I do, and that's fine. I don't mind. But I'll tell you this, the Bible clearly teaches that God is in control and God is sovereign, but at the same time, the Bible clearly teaches we have a part to play. I don't understand how that works, but I know that it's true. One man put it this way, and I kind of like this, that it kind of boils it down and makes it easy to understand, for me at least, and that is, God's the one that sends the wind. We can't tell the wind where to blow, but we can set our sails to catch the wind. That was spoken in context of revival. I can't tell the wind where to blow. I can't do that. But you know what? I want to be a part of what God's doing. You remember what Mordecai says to Esther? He says, if you don't stand up now, if you don't help now, then will deliverance arise from another place. In other words, God's plans aren't going to be thwarted. But you and your household will be killed. In other words, you will cancel yourself out from being used by God. See, there's the two parts, isn't it? The two parts. There's God. I mean, God's going to work His plan. Amen? All right? We can rest in that. But I also want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of what God is doing. To do that, to be a part of what God wants to do, that means we have to be prepared to have a greater outpouring of us. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what it is. I can use examples from my own life. And I hope you understand, I use examples from my life simply because I'm the one that I know the best. You know what I'm saying? Well, here's an example. I actually am not a fan of traveling. Now, that might surprise you. Oh, Brother Ben, you're an evangelist. I mean, all you do is travel. Yes. That's not why I went to evangelism, because I just love to travel. I like destinations. Right? I love going around to different churches. I love being with the people of God week in and week out, different places. You know, we love being here with you. We've been looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to the next church, too. Now, when I'm here, I'm focused on you. But then we go to the next place. Ah, let's encourage them, amen? And then we'll go to the next place. We'll encourage them. And then we'll take a little break, a little breather, and then we'll get back on the road, and we'll encourage them. The road part's not what excites me. I would, had I not been called to ministry, trucker was not going to be my life calling. That's not, but you know, as you know, you have to travel to get to the next church. The churches don't come to you. Now, through the ability of the internet, there's a little bit more opportunity to have a ministry online, etc. But at this point, God is still calling us to physically go and be with churches to encourage them. So what does that require? A lot of miles. That is not why we named our first son Miles, by the way. That was after Miles Standish, okay? Historical name there. But that's not why, but I mean, I suppose it could have been. Because we're on the road. Now that's just a small illustration there. But you know, when I get tired on the road, when I think to myself, man, I wish I was there already. When my back hurts, when I can't feel my leg, you know, oh, it's time to get out and stretch. You've been there on long trips, right? I think to myself, you know what, I could stop. But then I won't be able to be a part of something special that God's doing at Cross Lanes Bible Church. But I wouldn't be able to be a part of something special out there at such a church in California. What's God asking you to pour out? Maybe it's some security. I've seen that. We've all seen that, right? We get this sense inside. It's like, man, things are just not secure. To see a greater outpouring of God demands a greater outpouring of us. Well, let's finish up here. What's going to happen? Well, she obeys. She pours out. Verse 6. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. Whoa, wait. Did we skip a verse? Oh, we didn't, did we? She poured out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full. There's not a verse 5.5. It's like already the miracle happened, right? It's like it went so fast. It doesn't describe for us what it would have been like to have been in that room. Because remember, he says, shut the door, right? This is something special just for you and your sons. Observation number 5. We're on 5, right? There's 6, all right? So we're on 5, okay? Sometimes God's going to do something special just for you. Sometimes God's going to do something special just for you. To strengthen your faith. You know, this wasn't live streamed. You say, well, there wasn't the technology. Yeah, I know. But the point is that this was something Elisha is saying, listen, Everybody else, everybody's going through a difficult time. There are issues going on, of course, in the nation at this time. There's all kinds of things going on. But you know what? God zooms in on one lady and her two sons. One widow woman and her two sons. God zooms in and He does something special just for them. You know what, friends? You know this truth in your head. But it's time that we really practice it and know it and feel it in our hearts. That God zooms into your life. And He sees you for who you are. Yes, I want God to work in our country. Yes, I want God to work in the world. You know, I pray for that. But I want to see God do something special in my heart. And you know what? God zooms into your life. And if you'll be a willing vessel, you'll see God do things special and unique to you. One of my most cherished memories that I will have this side of heaven, and maybe even on the other side, is God answering a specific prayer for our family for the third trailer, which ended up being our last trailer. We needed one. We were out in Washington State, right? Washington State, we found Amanda does a wonderful job of research on all things. But she had done a lot of research. We found the trailer that we wanted, and they happened to have a version of it on a lot. And we knew we couldn't buy it. We had no finances. We owed over $20,000 on the previous one. And we walked in and we said, we just wanted to take a look inside. They said, sure. And I'll never forget. I don't know if Brandon would remember this because he was too young, right? Do you remember this? What? It's your earliest memory. Well, I'm glad. Because we just prayed as a family. Lord, would You provide? And you know, He ended up providing not just any trailer, but that exact model trailer that we asked for. And someone came up and said, hey, I say came up. We were down in Mexico at the time, serving on the mission field for a short-term missions trip, working with Amanda's parents down there. And a man wrote me from the States. He said, hey, how much money do you need to pay off your trailer? I'm going to help you get a new one too. You know, that was special. That was God zooming in to the Everson family, right? You know, you can't take that away from me. You can't destroy my faith, right? Why? God zoomed in and answered a prayer that I had. And you know what? Faith that's never tested can't be trusted. Sometimes God puts you in a position where all you've got is Him. So that you can see something special just for you. You know what? Our young people many times, unfortunately, are leaving our churches. I think some of the reason is, not the only reason, but some of the reason is that God isn't real to them. I know some people, they're adults now, but they would tell you, hey, Christianity works for you, but you know, I never saw it work for me. That's why we share a lot of things with our kids, because I want them to know, hey, listen, God's doing this special for our family. But then you've got to step out. Put God to the test for you. I don't care if you're 7 or 70. See God do something special for you. Then finally, I want you to see the end of verse 6. Bring me yet a vessel. And He said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Okay? Some of you probably have a different version that explains that a little bit. More modern, all right? It doesn't mean that the oil stayed there. What it means is the outpouring of the oil stopped. In other words, the miracle was done. In the sense that, you know, the oil wasn't going to pour forever. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. Look, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, can I let you in on a little secret, a little preaching secret? All right. It would be very easy. In fact, I've heard some people do this. It would be very easy to come to this passage and preach something like, give God your life, yield to the Lord, and your finances will work out. Right. That would be kind of easy to pull that application out of here. It'd be wrong. But people do that, right? Or, you know, whatever need you have in your life, God's going to meet that need and it's just never going to run out, you know? And God's going to be there and you could jump to that conclusion. That's not the conclusion that this story gives us. What's a cruse of oil anyway? Cruse of oil is for, I'm holding up my water bottle here, for that age, for that era, that basically represented a lot of things. It represented light, because they would burn that. It represented food, because they would cook with it. It represented finances, because they could sell it, as you could see. That's what he tells her to do, so that she could have income off of it. So basically, it was kind of a regular thing, kind of a normal thing, not really a spectacular thing, but it was basically the currency of life. It gave them the supply that they needed in order to exist, in order to live. The nation of Israel had a special covenant relationship with God that was very physical in nature. If they obeyed God, they would be protected from their enemies. Their crops would be good. You know, the harvest would be good. They would be healthy, etc. What's the application for us today? Does God promise that if you will do what He wants you to do, then you won't have any financial difficulty? God doesn't promise us that. Well, maybe if I obey God, then God's going to keep me healthy. Now, wait a minute. Don't fall into the trap of Job's friends. Remember Job's friends, right? Well, you must have sin in your life, Job. Repent. Man, Job needed new friends. With friends like these, right? Even his wife was saying, curse God and die, right? Oh, what a terrible situation. No, it wasn't because he had sinned. God doesn't promise us that. Well, what's the application then? I want to point out something to you very interesting. The Bible teaches that we have been given something very special since Jesus was resurrected. He said that if he would go, who would he send to us? The Comforter, right? Who's the Comforter? It's the Holy Spirit, right? Where does He live? In us. Isn't it interesting that one of the pictures that we're given in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit is oil? That's kind of neat, right? Now, that's just kind of an observation. But I'll tell you this. You know what God has promised you, friend? This is my final observation here and we'll be done. God has promised His children never-ending grace. Let's say it again. God has promised His children never-ending grace. Now follow me here. Follow me here. In this account here, this was a very physical thing. It turned into money, turned into food, etc. A very physical thing. We don't live in the same dispensation. Can God meet financial needs? Absolutely. Can God heal us when we ask Him to? Absolutely. But the application for us during the church age is simply this. What is the thing that we need the most? It really isn't finances. It's not even health. You know what we need? We need the grace of God. Now, before you think I'm talking about saving grace, there's saving grace, amen? All right? Amazing grace, that's, oh, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me, right? Okay, that's saving grace, but you realize grace doesn't stop there. Grace keeps going. And when you're God's child and the Holy Spirit lives in you, He gives you grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater, right? He sendeth more strength when the labor increase, right? What is the rest? To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiply trials, His multiplied peace. For His love has no limit, His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth.
And what?
And giveth again.
What's he's given? He's giving grace. What is grace anyway? There's a ton of definitions of grace. My favorite one, and I think is the most biblical, in my opinion. Okay, you can have a different opinion, that's fine. But grace is supernatural enabling. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting. Ah, just wait till you need it. Supernatural enabling. When you're sick and you can't take a step forward, God enables you to keep trusting Him. When you're at the end of yourself and you can't answer your own prayers, right? Sometimes, I don't have my wallet with me right now, but sometimes we can answer our own prayers. And that's okay to be, you know, a wise steward of finances and things like that. But when we come to the end of ourselves and we have to say, Lord, I can't do this. I need your grace. Listen, it never runs out. There will be more than you need. Abundant grace. And so you know what, friends, as we close this morning, you know what you can be confident in as God's people? You can be confident, and it doesn't matter who wins the election. You can be confident in this. If you're God's child, you have access to never-ending supernatural enabling to do what God calls you to do. And what more do we need? Oh yeah, still living comfortable lives, that'd be great, right? Still having the retirement accounts or the, you know, health or whatever. It's not wrong to try to have those things, but if you could choose one thing and have that, the wise person would say, you know, I can live without a lot of things. I can be rejected. I can be sick. I can go through heartache. I can go through difficulty as long as the Lord is with me, giving me the grace to do it. Where does this find you, friend? Brother, sister in Christ? Are you struggling this morning? Listen, trust Jesus. He's there. He's zooming into your life. And the Holy Spirit will pour out to you grace as long as you're humble, right? Got to be humble. Why? Because He resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the who? The humble. This lady was humble. God gave her grace. And I love the fact that He says, live thou of the rest. In other words, God didn't just solve her immediate need. He provided for her for the rest of her life. And listen, friends, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Do you need grace this morning? It's there. Trust Christ. Say, well, I'm already saved. Yeah, keep trusting Him. Not to be saved. That's taken care of if you're already a Christian. But trust Him now for your situation. The Holy Spirit will give you the supernatural enabling. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Mark to slip to the piano. Just taking God, taking the Lord at His Word. That's what we need to do. This is a song, a hymn that I'm sure most, if not all of you, are familiar with. Those of you watching at home as well, watching online, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Things are a little bit different during these times. I'm not going to have a come forward invitation, but there, as you're seated, if God convicts you in your heart of your need, would you spend some time with Him? Maybe you're here this morning or you're watching online and you don't yet know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, friend, you're not going to know His unending grace until you trust Him. So make right now the time when you say, I'm done with my own way of trying to get to heaven and trying to live my life. I want to turn to Jesus. Do that this morning and then you will have unending, amazing, overwhelming grace in your life. Christian, how about you? Are you trusting Jesus? Brother Mark, you lead us. Friend, if you need to do some business with God, let me encourage you to do that even now.